Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Yesterday, there was a little peak in the audio. I know that I was a little peaking, but there were other people complaining that we weren't high enough, so I pushed it to the border. Now, I lowered it a little bit in the processing, so I think you should have a good Jeff voice at this point. Yesterday, it was just reaching the peak and giving a little bit of peaking. We have super chats. Gusparovsky has sent $12.50. Thank you so much. And people should be thankful to those super chatters. They are holding the show onto their shoulders. He says, so yesterday I asked JF to read an article mentioning I would double the super chat if he does. 10 seconds after, he started reading, my cell phone died. Well, that's no problem. You can always go back at the video section and on Odyssey and see past streams. So I gave you a, in fact, I read the whole thing, the whole article that you had sent me. It was, yes, it was leftist social worker type of writing. That's how they think, and that's how they always come to the conclusion that LGBTQ most affected. Shrink Mamel sends a super chat. He says, I was banned off a Discord today for posting a meme about Asian woman and discussing the Asian woman question. They thought it would be better for white men such as myself who tried white woman to die alone. Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is where I most differ. The thing is, someone who tells you you should not breed if you get rejected by white woman is not talking to you about your interest. Of course, they are centered around something else. They are caring about the interest of their conception of the white race. And if you center the interest of, I mean, as public speakers, we have kind of a duty. If you guys are sending me super chats, I must give you counseling that is relevant to you. Not counseling that fits me. That's why there's confusion. People in my personal life, they say, oh, Jeff, you said that on your show. Does that mean this concerning me? Most of the time, it doesn't at all. Most of the time, my counseling has nothing to do with my private life. And it has to do with the average private life of an average male out there. And it's my job to give you counseling that fits your situation. Now, if you've been rejected by white women, sterilizing yourself is certainly not in your interest. You certainly have a good shot with the Asian woman trying to expand the spread of the white race into the Asian continent or into the future civilization that will be born from a union anyways between Asian civilization and white civilization. There's going to be something like this. You're talking about two high IQ populations that are respectful. There's going to be an interest for race mixing there, and that's something I need to answer also to someone who had asked me yesterday. Someone on the comment on the show said, "So Jeff, given all of your race mixing calculations, wouldn't it be better for you to counsel to white men not to race mix with the Asians if they get rejected from the white woman, and indeed better for them to die?" And no, it's still not the case. And we've been talking about this on the private show at times across the years, and we've come up with... So yeah, the person was framing it as follows. Would you be better off race mixing with an Asian or helping your brother reproduce with a white female? Basically, be the good uncle. We've been talking about this in the private show, and we've come up with a radical position, because it's not because I show some math on race mixing that it's my only moral guidance. It's not because the race mixing numbers are indicative of, yes, a very distant relationship between you and your own race mixed race child. Yes. First, I will point out that it was with the case of an African. With the Asian case, it would be closer. So already your Asian mixed race child is closer to you than a random stranger on the street. But even then, the whole idea of abandoning your own reproduction to pursue the good of the white race, we have developed an argument against this. And it's the argument of radical self-reproduction as the goal to be pursued. Because if you help something, and you need to have a very simple axiom, which I think is true. The axiom goes as follows. Any system of giving will end up being parasitized by a force that will be ugly to you, that will not respect your interests. So if you become generous with if you become the good uncle, you have lost your reproductive contribution, and therefore you are creating a white race that will get away from the current white race. You will slowly be favoring into this white race, the future one, a behavior of helping others. That behavior of helping others will be parasitized in all directions until there's nothing left. So if you don't do the reproductive act yourself, and it's kind of what's happening with queen ants, queen bees, if you abandon the cycle of reproduction, you abandon any evolution, any contribution to evolution in your direction. And you really contribute to the life form getting away from self-interest. So in all cases, even in face of the numbers that indicate that you are getting away from the white race when you race mix, and you're getting heavily away, even then, my recommendation is still pursue reproduction for yourself. That is the existential prior that I go by. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, I'm interested to hear your brief synopsis of the lore regarding you and Mike Benz. Well, me and Mike Benz. So it was Frame Games Radio back then, and he was a Jew speaking favorably about alt-right topics, favorably for white people. And saying, my goal would be that white people can eventually be as identitarian as Jews and not be punished for it. And I found that was a pretty good goal. From a Jew, you know, I can't demand any more than this. He was offering and wanting to pursue equality as far as the right to identity. And that would be a great victory. If white people could be talking of self-interest without getting these Jewish press it pieces written on them, it would be a great start. So back then, I considered that he was a great thinker, and he was providing extremely detailed insight into the whole machine of Jewry and of the alliance between Jews and blacks against white people, particularly in his review of Starbucks, in his review of what's to come in terms of white genocide, in his review of the real estate market and how politicians eventually came in and basically gave house loans to black people that they knew they wouldn't be able to pay back. So all of this was extremely quality content, and people were telling me, Jeff, Frame Games is a Jew. You can never trust a Jew. People were telling me this, but to me, the quality of the content was the only criteria. And okay, maybe one day he's going to betray us, but this is very good thinking. And as long as he produces good thinking, I will invite him. So eventually, Frame Games Radio disappeared from the internet. And Yeah, I guess I can say it now because he's admitted being Frame Games Radio following a hit piece that revealed this fact. So I had he was very intent on displaying a lot of figures on the show, and at one point in the show, on a public space show. I remember he was showing his old screen, and it was a Apple OS screen, and there was at the corner, top right corner, there was the word mic, and I was like, bro, you just self-doxed. And so right after, I stayed silent on this because it was a live stream. Stayed silent on it. At the end of the show, I said, look, Frame Games, be careful when you show your screen. I'm going to go back and I'm going to clip it out so no one will know unless they have seen it during the live. Very often during the live, because you have your biggest fans, they will not screenshot it to show it to everyone. But sometimes you have 8 watchers who will screenshot it. So I said, be careful when you show your screen. I saw your name on the top. So basically, for me, I knew that Frame Games Radio was a guy named Mike, who was a liar and a Jew. And eventually Frame Games Radio, after these events, and it was kind of getting hot for him. He was in the process of getting doxxed, and there were more and more people guessing who he was. And he eventually disappeared from the internet and then reappeared under Mike Benz, because ultimately, when you're that kind of guy, you know, Frame Games Radio was delivering such quality content. You are addicted to the internet. There's no leaving the internet, just like me. I will never leave the internet. It's my life now, and it will always be. And it's always been. As soon as the internet started existing, I was all over it and spending my time in IRC chats and ICQ. I mean, it's you cannot leave the internet when you're at that level. So I knew that he would come back in some form at some point. He got intimidated away from his personality. That was anonymous first. Now he came back under his real name, Mike Benz. And what we see him do on all these other shows, Tucker and everything, is basically the Frame Games Radio that we've been knowing forever. It's the same guy. You can see it through his application to detail. He gets into the whole machine of censorship. Now he's become a specialist of censorship and an expert of it. So he, in the same way, he was characterizing, you know, the Jewish Black Alliance working inside of Starbucks back in the days. He is going after the censorship regime and the whole machine of how it works and who are the players. Very good stuff. But then eventually Mike Benz got a hit piece written about him. And so he isn't following me on Twitter, and I'm like, okay, I guess he doesn't have to follow me, but I would like to know that he's still a friend. I'd like to know that he's still a friend. And it's like, yeah, it's feelings-based, but I take not following me on Twitter, I take it very harsh. Because it's like, what are you doing here? You're trying to pose as someone you're not. Do you stand still by what you've said and done? Do I still have the same Frame Games Radio who told me I want white people to be able to self-identify as white as strongly as Jews do, and I want there to be no problem for them? Could Mike Benz say this today? This is a doubt on my mind, because he got a hit piece written on him, and then he did a trick that is a Frame Games. That is exactly what he had told us the Jews do. And that That is hurtful because he played a frame games. In response to his hit piece, he said, yeah, back in the days, I did a lot of stuff. Okay, no disavowal. That's good. Okay. He stands by it. But then he said, what we've been doing back in the days, implied here but not stated, me and JF, what we've been doing was the greatest ever experience in de-radicalization that was ever done. And it was the most successful experience in de-radicalization that was ever done. Whoa. It's one thing to play a frame game. But it's another thing to have a revisionist interpretation of what was said and done then. It was not part of the program. It was not part of the program or what you were presenting yourself as then to de-radicalize people. Because I don't believe in de-radicalization. I don't believe that what we need is softer politics. what we need is 1,000x the current levels of politics we have. If you de-radicalize people in the sense of making them more softly attached to their principles and becoming this kind of moral pudding of centrism, you're doing exactly what led us to be in this shitty situation. And you're falling back into the black hole of centrism in America that absorbs everything. So I take issue with this because it's not clear to me. Mike Benz not following me. Mike Benz not talking about me. Mike Benz, is he still a friend or not? I don't know. And Mike Benz reframing what he has done in the past as an enterprise in de-radicalization, as if he was telling his Jewish friends, no, look, I'm the secret Jew dark elf. I want some money from Peter Thiel. I am the dark elf that's trying to help the hobbits become dwarves. I am the skillful Milo expected and predicted dark elf, the Jew of the bureaucracy that's actually against the Jews of the bureaucracy. I don't like this because it's playing the two sides. And for people who have principles, playing the two sides is a no-no. There's a bunch of enemies, and it's most people. And they are the enemies of a rightful, righteous, moral program for America. So you told me I want to have the whole story of Mike Benz. That is what it is. I don't know what to add. We are at this standstill of not knowing. Perhaps some of you guys he follows on Twitter and you can ask, hey, you know, no offense and no expectations, but we'd like to know where you stand. Have you been incorporated in the machine of centrism? Have you been? Are you in the operation of gatekeeping? Because you're not part of the censorship complex, bravo, but that's very evil. But there are smaller evils to which you may be participating right now in your silence. I'd like to know because my claim is not I know and I'm critical of him. My claim is I don't know. He has put an interrogation mark in my mind. Naberius says he's the Dave Smith of the dissident right. Absolutely. Lendald Guntram says layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of play. Better beware the play. Absolutely. Speaker's Corner says, you do this, JF, we will signal boost you. Oh yeah, maybe that would be a good mimetic tweet. Maybe when things get hot during this election cycle, maybe I will do a tweet to Mike Benz. And it will be gentle and it will be loving. But yeah, I think if you guys can all retweet this, maybe in a month from now, I think that will be the right moment when things get hot, when Mike Pence is there with his little data sets on Tucker. I might be tempted to make. What was my cousin saying? He was saying, JF, always. He was saying, JF always likes to bring shit. To bring shit into the when shit hit the fans, is that the expression? I was basically a troublemaker for my cousin presented me as a troublemaker. Maybe I will make some trouble in a month from now and ask a question to Mike Pence. Because at this point, it's no more a secret that Mike Pence was frame games. He has said it himself. So, Ty Rogerson's a shit stirrer. Exactly. That's the term he used. JF is a shit stirrer. Oh, God. I have published my fry sauce recipes on the blockchain. One day, all recipe books of today will have disappeared, but I expect this to outlive all. Ladies and gentlemen, these fry sauce recipes that have the most chance to survive into the future, recorded on the Bitcoin blockchain. I paid $1.63 to have this hosted permanently in the data set of the Bitcoin blockchain. So here it is, the official fry sauce recipes written on the blockchain. You can see it through the links on any of the Ordinals website that categorize these Ordinals. So the smoked dill fry sauce, I think, is my best. It came with a combination of seeing American fry sauce that was using the principle of dill pickle juice. I started researching this a couple of years ago. Dill pickle juice mixed with mayonnaise. And it made me think about the dirty martini, because when I was hanging out in bars to find a wife, I was very often ordering a dirty martini. So that is a martini, but instead of just the olives in it, you put olives and the juice of the olives. So it makes the martini very blurry, and it gives it this olive taste, more intense olive taste. Speaker's Corner says, this confused me. Fry sauce is a term I had never heard before. Well, I use the term because when you Google it, it's what people report. It's a fry sauce. Now, it was weird to me. To me, it's fries. It's sauce for fries, but since on Google, everything was coming out as fry sauce, I wrote it that way. So a fry sauce basically is the idea of you can dip anything in it, fries mostly, but also nuggets or whatever fried items you have. So after my research on the dill pickle type of sauce, I concluded that smoked paprika was adding a very intense smoke flavor. You put a lot of it. So eventually that formed my final recipe, a mix of smoked paprika and the American type dill pickle juice ID. Put some fresh chives, red hot pepper sauce, can be Tabasco, can be anything else you have, freshly ground pepper and salt. The curry fry sauce, it comes from my university days at the University of Montreal. There was a restaurant inside the university. Somehow they were renting a local inside the university. They had an excellent burger and excellent fries. And they had this house sauce that they were making. And basically, this house sauce was mayo mixed with yellow curry. So I added ground pepper and salt, but basically the idea is to have an intense flavor of yellow curry. It does give this Indian aspect, and I typically don't do anything Indian in my cooking, but for the sauce, if you pair it with good fries, it's spectacular. It's the only context in which the curry flavor is actually noble for noble cuisine of a European country. So the curry fry sauce, sometimes you can mix it also with this. Sometimes I will put both smoked paprika and yellow curry. Very good, very good. Speaker's Corner says, is yellow curry a powder or liquid? It's a powder. So you put a lot of that powder. Hot pickle fry sauce. That's a variation of a more French style of fry sauce that includes Dijon mustard. But I've paired it with the classical American dill pickle style. So you have Dijon mustard, mayo, dill pickle juice, a finely chopped cucumber, pickled cucumber, fresh chives, a lot of red hot pepper sauce, and ground pepper and salt. And finally, one thing that I discovered in fast food, very often in fast food, you have ketchup. But if you look into the extra items you can get, and I'm always into mixing flavors, very often what they will give you access to is a little sack of vinegar, of white vinegar. And eventually I found that mixing vinegar with ketchup, basically there's already some vinegar in ketchup, but to up the dose of vinegar, it gives a very good ketchup. And if you mix it with red hot pepper sauce, it gives that heat aspect. So my hot ketchup fry sauce is 2 spoons of ketchup, 1 spoon of malt vinegar, and 5 drops of red hot pepper sauce. With these 4 sauces, you can give a variety to who you invite, whoever you are your guests, and the variety is extremely intense. You visit different worlds by dipping in all of these sauces, and the whole fry. The fries that you taste, they take an entire different meaning under these 4 different flavor profiles. So I highly recommend you try these recipes. They have been stamped on the blockchain forever. Let me tell you, when I stamp a NFT on the blockchain, I get nervous. I'm like, this is for eternity. I double check the English. I don't want any errors. I'm proud that I can share. I think I'm going to share more recipes on the blockchain. And eventually, perhaps I will publish a visual book, which will add to not only the recipes, but you will get images of everything. Speaker's Corner says, do you make your own fries or buy pre-prepared? Well, it depends if I have time. It's wonderful to make your own fries, but I don't always have time to do this, so it depends. Scientists built an AI to give ethical advice, but it turned out super racist and homophobic after studying 1.7 million real-life human examples. Cyril was saying, the feeling when I will never be as racist as the bits in a computer's RAM. Too Soon says, oh my God, move on. Well, shut the fuck up, Too Soon. If you ever share again an opinion that the show should go at another rhythm than the one I've chosen for it, I will fucking block you. I will obliterate you from existence. You will fucking disappear from my life forever. It's hilarious that this is what made it into the edited interview. Tim Walz in the CNN interview dancing on a question that he doesn't want to answer.
You said said that you carried weapons in war, but you have never deployed actually in a war zone. A campaign official said that you misspoke. Did you?
Well, first of all, I'm incredibly proud. I've done 24 years of wearing the uniform of this country.
So sidelining the question is, were you carrying weapons of war on the front line? And if you weren't, then you lied. Now, the right wing and the pro-Trump people are very, they're going after this, but they're kind of, it's very small, you know, the difference between, what he said is he was carrying weapons as part of war. Well, that's not exactly stating that he was at the front line. He certainly must have been carrying some weapon. I mean, if you're in the army, just during your training, you're going to touch weapon. Doesn't matter if you're not a frontline soldier.
Country, equally proud of my service in a public school classroom, whether it's Congress or the governor. My record speaks for itself, but I think people are coming to get to know me. I speak like they do. I speak candidly. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and I speak especially passionately about our children being shot in schools and around guns. So I think people know me. They know who I am. They know where my heart is. And again, my record has been out there for over 40 years to speak for itself.
And the idea that you said that you were in war, yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English teacher, told me my grammar's not always correct. But again, if it's not this, it's an attack on my children for showing love for me, or it's an attack on my dog. I'm not going to do that. And the one thing I'll never do is I'll never demean another member's service in any way. I never have, and I never will.
So it's not a direct answer to the question, but at the same time, it's such small leverage, because he didn't say I was wielding weapons of war while shooting Viet Congs. He didn't say this. He said I was carrying weapons for war. Well, he probably was. And so I personally don't care about this story that much. Andrew Tarba reports, August was one of our highest traffic months in Gab's history. But I'm very happy that Gab is continuing as a parallel platform, although I'm not so present then because I've been unbanned on X, and X is my main place of work. But I'm super happy that we have this parallel platform and that it's thriving and that it's giving an example to everyone about what is true free speech, because still on X you don't have true free speech. There's lots of jokes that I would want to make at times that I don't get to make, that I have to change the phrasing. Lendold Guntram says Harris Waltz interview was a disaster. If you look at the details, totally artificial and fully managed. Looks like Dana Bash was assigned to play their handler. Obviously, she is deeply in the club. Harris looked like a schoolgirl still, totally getting lost behind the table. Bad image. Well, it's what people say. I've seen this commentary, but I've still not seen clips that are like totally this, that are that are totally ridicule on the side of either Tim Walz or Kamala Harris. It's really through the lens of politics and the lens of really pro-Trump activism that people are insisting, she looks so ridiculous. I don't see anything dramatic up to now. And of course, they say that they haven't published the full interview. So maybe they've hidden some stuff that is worse. But up to now, I've not seen anything that will derange a leftist base. It's only stuff that the right wing and the Trump supporters, who are unconditionally for Trump, will try to hang on. It's really hair splitting, in my view. A new Gen Z trend, cancel your parent.
I just wanna be part of your society.
officially in my orphan era, I went no contact with my Asian parents, lol. I just wanna be part of your symphony. Yeah, well, if you're ever faced with this, you know, whatever, they're not super dangerous out there, these children. They're dangerous to themselves. But at the same time, you don't want to hang on to them. You just want to let them go, forget about them, remove them from the will, don't give them bitcoins, and see how they fare. And never forget that the worst thing that can happen is that they produce no grandchildren. On the brighter side, what most likely will happen is that they will produce some grandchildren that you may never see. So it's like they can't do much damage. The worst they can do is not make children. And if they don't want to be talked to, then forget about them. DK Shadow says she don't need no man. Yeah. John Drake says, I hope your parents are canceling your funding. Well, definitely. You don't want to keep helping the people who bite the hand that feeds them. They are trying to genocide the Costco experience. Harris and Waltz pledge free Costco membership for all SNAP recipients. That is very unjust. Because at some point, it's like, okay, well, there's this whole free way for accessing stuff, but I have to pay for it as a regular working person. I don't find this just at all. They're going to end up paying subscriptions. These subscriptions will not be used. So you're going to have... Some people won't go to Costco. So what happens? Or what happens if someone just goes to Costco to buy $50 of stuff? Then your $50 subscription price really wasn't worth it. And anyways, the whole idea of Costco is you go to a place where you know you will be surrounded by higher class people because they've been subject to a process of selection. Same thing if you go to a PhD program. You just want to be surrounded by the right people. So you're going to lose this aspect and you're going to end up at Costco. People are going to be stuffing their mouth with the $1 hot dogs. No. I don't want any of this. Brazil officially suspends X, claims that anyone using VPN to access X could be fined up to $8,000, $874 a day. Alexander Moraes, the Brazilian Supreme Court Justice, who happens to resemble Voldemort. This was inevitable. Because in the end, X is either kneeling to the law or it's not. And the law in most places does not give freedom of speech. It's only in America. So X had a decision to make many years ago. And I was telling Elon, you have to think about this right now. Because down the line, you're going to have wasted so much money down the line. So you try to respect Brazilian law. You pay all of these employees that are there to make sure that you respect Brazilian law. But in the end, Brazilian law will adjust and European law will adjust to eventually constrain you. Because that's what they want in the end. It's not just that some tweet happened to violate some law. It's that they want to modify the law until they can control free speech. Because there's no such thing as free speech right anywhere. Except in the US. So in the end, you had to make a stance. And there were many directions that Elon could have taken. But the current direction of claiming that he wants to respect other countries' laws is not viable. You had either to go full decentralized and to the point where X doesn't even exist. It's like a bunch of lost servers that are computing some blockchain, and it's not traceable, and it can be anywhere at the same time. Either you are going full decentralization, Elon didn't want this, or you go full American. You go a la Gab. You say, all right, we are an American company. We don't have physical presence in any other nation. And so we're just going to live by the standards of the First Amendment. Now, this will put you inevitably at odds with the European countries and Brazil. And they will ban you from the territory. And then you need to work on VPN, decentralization, dark web, and build the dark web, basically. But Elon seemed to be naively pursuing the idea that he can act legally in all these countries. And here, even the position of X is, no, we're not asking for the First Amendment to apply in Brazil. We are claiming that the current Brazilian law is being violated by these orders. It's like you're trying to get due process in a shithole. You're trying to get due process in a demographic shithole. The asshole of America, Brazil. Saturn Shine says, man rapes minor in England, no jail sentence. Man criticizes diversity, gets 2 years. Oh yeah, I mean, we are full-blown into the whole deployment of the legal system of the force of the state against freedom, because they don't want to lose control of of the internet anymore. They've seen anti-regime decisions that happen when people are free to speak, and they are working against it now. Silver Spider says, I'm interested to see how long it takes for normies to realize it wasn't a conspiracy theory. John Drake says, the great thing is Noster doesn't have to think about this. That's why it will win in the end. The end being about a decade away. Yeah, I mean, Noster is a good model for decentralization. But holy shit, have they not been caring about the user experience at all? It's not even clear to me what's the program I have to install to access this. It's like, wow. No, it's the problem of Noster is it's so ugly, so painful to get to it that no one is out there Nostering. And Wokeness says the regime in Brazil just ordered X to be taken down within 24 hours. App stores have 5 days to comply. Yeah, so they are ordering Apple to remove X. So Apple, presumably, even as an American company, but wanting to respect Brazilian law, will probably remove X in Brazil. Brazilian Supreme Court bans X. In its ruling Friday, the court gave the country's telecoms regulator, Anatel, 24 hours to shut down X across the country of some 203 million people and ordered Apple and Google to block use of the app and remove it from their app stores. The court said it would lift the ban on X, which is owned by Musk, only when the platform complies with all legal requirements, pays outstanding fines, and appoints a legal director in the country. X, Google, and Apple didn't immediately respond to requests for comments Friday. The official ban caps months of back-and-forth retaliation between Musk and the country, which started in April when Alexandre de Moraes, one of the Supreme Court justices, ordered X to take down several accounts deemed to be spreading hate speech and misinformation. X, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, has turned Brazilian social media networks into a place of total impunity, a lawless land, Anyone found to be accessing X in Brazil, for example, by using VPN technology will be fined the equivalent of about $8,900 a day. So we don't know to which extent they'll be able to enforce this, but it's having such an intimidating effect. Now suddenly any VPN service that operates in Brazil will be under high scrutiny. So most likely Brazilians who want to do this will need to use a service outside of Brazil. And who knows, perhaps the Brazilian government will be able to know through the pings, through the routes of the IPs and through the VPNs that are being used, and perhaps they will have some viruses, basically Trojan horses, onto people's computer, allowing them to know, oh well, they were pinging toward a VPN that eventually pinged to Twitter. There will be indirect ways where, in the end, they might have the means to pursue some users that will use VPN. It might not be the goal. The intimidation in and of itself is sometimes enough. If they can reduce by 99% the number of users of Twitter, they will definitely hurt freedom of speech and freedom of thought. Officially, the ruling was due to Musk's refusal to name a legal representative for the network, but Elon Musk is stating on Twitter that they threatened any lawyer that would represent X, that they would be judged guilty of representing X, and they would be jailed. So, you can't really send your lawyer employees to... And so the lawyer of X resigned and said, well, if I'm going to be jailed, if I'm going to be judged as part of the criminal conspiracy, I might as well resign. So we are in this situation where Elon cannot even send safely a lawyer to the judge. John Drake says, good luck getting 9K out of the favelas. Yeah. There's also this, which is, this is a poor country. It will have limited ways, unless you're a rich individual in Brazil. The vast majority of the population, you cannot get money from them. You will put them in effective bankruptcy, but most people are probably in effective bankruptcy already. Russian President Putin says people who destroy whole nations do not have the right to teach us democracy and the values of living free. Putin has been shooting many arrows in the direction of Western civilization, very based these days. And basically here he's saying, like, you guys are destroying your own nations. You're not going to give me moral lessons on what I can do in mine. I have a question for the Odyssey staff. I tweeted it. They still haven't answered. Hopefully they do later. Is there a way for me to contribute my hard drive to Arweave's capacity? Because the system that they've decided to go for is they will take all of our videos and they will dump it on the Arweave blockchain, which charges a certain amount of money per byte, and they promise to you that they will host this piece of data for 200 years at least into the future. That's great. That's great. But I was wondering, is there like popularity measures? Is there some of the content that will get forgotten? And is there a way we can help? So what I'm wondering is, can I host the videos on my channel? I have no problem having a hard drive here in my home, and I have a superb connection. I can probably not serve it, but I can ensure the persistence of the data. And if I don't serve it to all viewers, at least I could serve it to the Arweave blockchain and make sure that no data gets lost. Is there a way for me to do this? Or is Arweave just guaranteeing that they will keep all video in perfect copies and that it will be there forever. That's something that wasn't clear to me. I've read everything, all the announcement. It's still not clear to me to what extent is the data going to be permanent and can we help to make it more permanent? Yelp accuses Google of monopolization and harming local search businesses. Local search company Yelp has filed a lawsuit against Google, accusing the tech giant of using its search engine monopoly to thwart competitors. Oh, absolutely. Google tends to just swallow everything around it. And yeah, you know, Google Map already gives you all sorts of tips on this restaurant is good, this restaurant is bad, here's some reviews. And so a website like Yelp will probably suffer greatly. The more Google gets aggressive, the more they want to send their people to Google Map rather than Yelp. Man in a Suitcase says, at least in a dictatorship, the population know there's only one way to change government. Yes, which I bet is actually one of the factors that make democracy more stable in time than dictatorship. It's that dictatorship really is an inefficient spreading of people's hate, because people's hate build up and it's all against the regime of dictators. Whereas in democracy, democracy has a mechanism to release hate. Oh, you hate Trump. Oh, well, here's Kamala. Oh, well, you hate Kamala. Well, here's Trump. You know? And it kind of, it throws all of this accumulated hate to unproductive ends. Defenestrator says, yes, Hans Hermann Hoppe has written about that. In a democracy, anyone thinks they can become a ruler. Yeah, it's what ultimately makes democracy more dangerous long term, because it's kind of seated and you cannot undo it. Tulsi Gabbard reveals the real reason behind endorsing Trump. This is personal for me. She says, the choice in this election is very clear and the differences between President Trump and Vice President Harris couldn't be more stark. Frankly, to put it simply, the choice for the American people is a choice with Donald Trump, a man who values peace, prosperity, and freedom. He has a record that proves that. And Vice President Kamala Harris, whose record shows an increasingly tyrannical government undermining our freedoms. We are embroiled in multiple wars and the world is closer to the brink of nuclear war than ever before. Yeah, but I'm not convinced that Trump is the solution to this. I think we may get closer to nuclear war with Trump. Secondly, there's lots of people out there who have been saying under Kamala there will be an impediment on free speech. I don't believe this. Biden couldn't do much. Biden couldn't do much once Elon Musk took over Twitter. So Biden was dangerous because he was paired with willing slaves within the executives of big tech. But as long as big tech stands strong, they stand strong with the First Amendment. And Kamala will be completely powerless against free speech. I would bet you that there won't be a single problem with government censorship in 4 years of Kamala. That's my prediction. As long as Elon doesn't kneel. If Elon kneels, then yes, that's a problem. But as long as Elon doesn't kneel, we're good. ADL is saying, blah, 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 Jewish college. Shut the fuck up! Nobody cares, says Revolutionary Blackout Network. And in fact, they say, look, he tweeted, shut the fuck up, nobody cares. It's anti-Semitism. And he retweeted this tweet and said, shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. Oh, man, I like that this is the new position. I really like it because we worked hard for this. But it's becoming a normie position of shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. I think we should print these words everywhere. Write them on all the walls. John Drake says the biggest danger of a Harris regime is appointing terrible Supreme Court justices. That might be. Absolutely. That might be. Anand says, I'll take a monarchy over this liberal democracy trash. Yeah. Yeah, because eventually the monarch gets tired. It's like, oh yeah, the monarch wants to fuck all of the women that get married. Okay, well, here's 10,000 women. Now your dick is getting tired, isn't it? Now it's becoming a problem. Now you don't want to oppress people anymore because you're too tired. There's always a limit at which the monarch gets tired of oppressing people. And it's like, yeah, now we can live alone. But the democratic regime, it has all of these mechanisms to have these infinite layers of bureaucrats. They will never get tired because they're getting paid for this. RFK Jr. says, Trump called author of Project 2025 a right-wing asshole, and that people will see a very different President Trump in his second term. He's listening to a wider range of voices as he's preparing to govern right now. This is extremely worrying. A wider range of voices. I'm cemented in my position. Trump presidency would be horrible. I mean, you have it right there. A wider range of voices. This is extremely worrying because it's a wider range of lobbyists, of Zionists. This is who Trump is currently listening to. So this presidency, I have nothing. There's nothing in it for me. I am disavowing Trump. I don't think he will change. I don't think there will be a radical change. I think we should root for Kamala. Naberius says, monarchs have a take in their nation in a way democratic leaders never can. A stake never can due to the revolving door of stewardship. Absolutely. people are discussing the Brian and Ed Krasenstein. I didn't know this. That's how they got popular. They were operating porn websites. And you can see all of the registries that they have bought in their name. Ed Krasenstein, Brian Krasenstein, sexymen.co.in, India. IN is India. So they were hosting some gay porn Indian website, bro. And they also showed that they were hosting something named Sexy School Girls or something like this. So basically, these two guys who have developed into pro-democratic party, puppets and social media personalities, they got to where they are by doing porn. And some of it gay porn. Gay Indian porn. Just in case. Just in case gay porn isn't bad enough. Gay Indian porn. Federal appeals court says that illegal aliens do not have Second Amendment rights. Well, that is interesting. Now the question is, do they have voting rights? Because there's this whole contradiction where the 14th Amendment says any person physically on the territory. And in the end, it's like no one wants this. No one wants a true radical application of the 14th Amendment the way it's written. Because that means literally that illegal migrants could be hanging out with their AK-47 and Second Amendment rights. So it's important what this finding states, but it would be important that we also apply this across society, including voting rights, because we're at the point where leftist states are organizing so that illegal migrants can vote. That's what they've been doing. New York, California, and it will spread and spread, and they will try to apply it in the most situations they can. Finally, as a last news item, Kim.com reports, we reached the final step on the escalation ladder. The Pentagon gave Ukraine permission to strike targets deep inside Russia with attack missiles, attack MS missiles. They can only be operated with U.S. satellite targeting assistance. Washington is now a direct party to the war, Moscow says. You know what I think they'll do? They love to do this. They did this in the Bush-Obama transition. They like to start wars just before a president leaves. Because that binds the next president. The next president doesn't get a choice. He has to continue the war because he would be seen as such a cock if he was to withdraw. So what they love to do is they start a war 2 months before the new president comes in. In November, December, look for this. We're going to see some action. Because whatever the deep state feels they can do under Biden and are uncertain whether they can continue under Trump, they will all do in November, December. And in fact, if they can know, well, will Kamala be elected or will Trump be elected, this may push them even further. Because if they have a confirmation that Trump will come in, they're going to get scared. Can we trust Trump? And so they're going to try to commit America into the most trouble they can so that they can pursue a war program independent of the new administration. Watch for this in October, November, December. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.